Feel the pulse of excitement as the Reading Rodeo returns Buckin' by the River May 15th to the 18th. Secure your place now with tickets exclusively available at ReadingRodeo.com. Experience where legends are forged and unforgettable memories created at the Reading Rodeo. Mark your calendars for May 15th to the 18th. Thank you to our sponsors, Reading Rancheria, Valero, and Ford. Don't let this opportunity slip away. Visit ReadingRodeo.com today.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. Our expert guests will give you the whole story rather than a bunch of sound bites. Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
Sponsored in part by Pape Machinery, located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard, for all your local John Deere ag and turf products. Join us every Sunday from noon until 2, wethepeopleradio.us.
What shall we do about them?
From the historic campus of Hillsdale College in Hillsdale, Michigan, where the good, the true, and the beautiful are taught, nurtured, and honored, this is the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour, bringing the activity and education of the college to listeners across the country.
I mean, this is sort of the irony of the whole situation, is that for a society that purports to care about minorities and lower-income families, what we end up doing with these lockdowns and school closures is harm particularly those populations.
This is your host, Scott Bertram. That's Dr. Scott Atlas, co-author of COVID Lesson Learned, a retrospective after 4 years, a report published by the Committee to Unleash Prosperity. And we'll take an in-depth at that report today with Dr. Atlas. He's a fellow at Hillsdale College's Academy for Science and Freedom, the Robert Wesson Senior Fellow in Healthcare Policy at the Hoover Institution, and as I mentioned, co-author of the new report, COVID Lessons Learned. Dr. Atlas, thanks so much for joining us. I want to begin by asking about the overall response, particularly from public officials, from government. Did the response from federal and many state governments inadvertently feed into a sense of panic in the public?
Yeah, the overall flaw was that it disregarded standard pandemic management known for, say, 15 years, well understood ways to deal with viral respiratory pandemics, because it was known that lockdowns and closures of schools, et cetera, not only do not work, but are extraordinarily harmful. And because of the implemented lockdowns that disregarded the evidence on this pandemic even, it induced a significant fear in the public that spiraled into even more harms and ultimately has led to a loss of trust in public health and other expert-level guidance.
Come back and talk about the public trust in a few minutes. One of the major weapons used by government were various stages of lockdowns. Based on the research that you've seen and what's inside this report, COVID Lessons Learned, did lockdowns in any way help to reduce deaths or stop the spread of COVID?
Not significantly, no. In the reality, the best way to think of this is that the all-cause deaths, which is really the only way to look at death, because that includes death from the viral respiratory infection as well as the policies and everything else that happened, including loss of medical care, shutting down the healthcare delivery for serious illnesses. The all-cause deaths by country in the world, Sweden did the best. And this is a country that did not do these significant lockdowns that most other countries did. They took a lot of heat for basically trusting the public, giving the information, and assuming that people that have some common sense and would be, you know, restricting their own activity if they were personally at high risk, but they avoided the harms of closing, of forcing people indoors where the cases spread. We failed to also protect the people who were known to be high risk, including, by the way, I don't want to sugarcoat this, but Sweden failed to protect the people in their nursing homes. But the bottom line is that the lockdowns and the school closures induce more harm than any kind of small potential benefit that they gave.
These negative consequences of lockdowns and social isolation, there's a phrase in the report that I had not heard before, lockdown unemployment shock. And it says that lockdown unemployment shock is projected to result in around 1 million excess deaths over the next 15 to 20 years. What exactly does that mean?
Well, I mean, this is one of the best illustrations of the harms, really, because people can understand this, that when you have, this has been known for decades, that when you have significant economic downturn and particularly unemployment, people die. It's not just an economic issue. It's a health issue. And how do people die? Well, I mean, there's documented, data in the literature for decades that people, their increase in suicide, increase in alcoholism, and by the way, increase in other harms, including spousal abuse, sexual abuse, child abuse. These are things that happen. This is the reality that people don't want to talk about when you have significant economic downturns and unemployment. And the study that you're referring to is one of many, but this specific study was published in the National Bureau of Economic Research that estimated that over 1 million deaths will occur over the next 15 to 20 years and having a disproportionate impact on women and minorities. I mean, this is sort of the irony of the whole situation is that for a society purports to care about minorities and lower income families, what we end up doing with these lockdowns and school closures is harm particularly those populations. Because it turns out, and this is common sense, but we all know it's true from the data as well, that higher income families, the affluent groups, they can work around these kinds of closures far better than people who are lower income earners and single parent families, et cetera.
Talking with Dr. Scott Atlas around the recent report, COVID Lessons Learned, a retrospective after 4 years, shutting down schools, keeping children at home, and then in many areas, certainly, keeping it on remote learning for months or even years into COVID. What did we find as the consequences of those choices on our children?
Well, again, we found severe harms and particularly worse among lower income families, kids in lower income families. What we find is that the learning losses for children are staggering. In fact, they're the largest learning losses in the history of studies that record learning losses from missing school. And the economic losses are therefore impacted in a significant way. By one estimate, the children of today will lose approximately $17 trillion in lifetime earnings due to the school closings. These school closings and lack of education and lack of income, they compound on each other and include a shorter life expectancy, because life expectancy is linked to income and educational attainment. I think people don't want to think about these things because it's such a heinous abuse of really what we view ourselves as, which is an ethical society with sort of a social contract that we prioritize our children. In fact, this was particularly, heinous and inexcusable because it was known from the earliest days of spring 2020 that healthy children had a vanishingly small risk, a minuscule risk of a serious illness from COVID. That's point number one. And the irony of point number two is that virtually all children in the United States have now been infected with COVID at some point during this pandemic. And so despite all these extraordinarily harmful measures of closing schools, et cetera, they got infected anyway. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, this whole thing really is a bit of a fiasco because, as we put it in our written piece, like a regressive tax, these harms were more severe for lower income kids.
We will be back in a moment with Dr. Scott Atlas to continue our conversation about his report, COVID Lessons Learned, a retrospective after 4 years. I'm Scott Bertram. This is the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour. During the break, it might be a fine time to check out the Hillsdale College Podcast Network at podcast.hillsdale.edu. You'll find older episodes of this program there and a whole bunch of fantastic Hillsdale College audio, like The Larry Arn Show, Hillsdale Dialogues, the Hillsdale College Online Courses Podcast, Imprimis, and the Hillsdale K-12 Classical Education Podcast. All those shows can be found at podcast.hillsdale.edu, and individual shows and feeds can be found wherever you get your audio. Check out podcast.hillsdale.edu.
I'm Jack Potter, Jr., Tribal Chairman for Redding Rancheria. We've proudly partnered with the Redding Rodeo Association for Native American Appreciation Night and Extreme Bulls and Barrels on May 15th at the Redding Rodeo Grounds. As you know, our roots and hearts are here in this community and are proud of this partnership. From grants to help local businesses and government to making health care available to so many. To our own community events like the Stillwater Powwow that happens right here on this same land. Redding Rancheria, proud to play our part.
Do you have something you'd like to get painted? Then bring it to Victory Powder Coating. Powder coating is a durable, colorful, environmentally friendly alternative to paint. It's useful in automotive, agricultural, decorative, and high-temperature applications. Victory Powder Coating has become the North State leader in powder coating applications and metal finishing. They specialize in large industrial items like truck beds, agricultural equipment, and trailers. They're dedicated to providing superior work and outstanding customer care. Consider Victory Powder Coating for your next project. Victory Powder Coating.
Hi friends, Tobacco and Brew here with a new cigar of the humidor, La Aroma de Cuba Pasión. Straight from the estate of Don Pepin Garcia comes this excellently crafted cigar. Profound notes of nougat, leather, molasses, and cedar please the palate throughout. La Aroma de Cuba Pasión. Be sure to get yours today. Tobacco and Brew, Redding, California.
This is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
June 8th is your chance to support our veterans. Join Simpson University, Dr. Paul DeNuca, and Josh Parker Real Estate for the Simpson Veteran Success Center Fundraising Gala, featuring John Bardis, founder and chairman of Higher Heroes. You'll be moved by the real stories of Johnny, Ruby, Jess, and Julia. Go to the SimpsonU.edu events page to become a sponsor or reserve your table now. That's SimpsonU.edu/events.
Good morning, Redding. This is Rick Hughes, host of The Flatline. Heard every Sunday morning on KCNR 96.5 FM at 7 a.m. in the morning. Just want you to know that God has given us two ends, one to think with and one to sit on. And success in life depends on which one you use. It's heads you win and tails you lose. Come join me on The Flatline and learn about God's tremendous problem-solving device. 7 a.m. every Sunday morning, 96.5 FM, KCNR.
I'm Jack Potter, Jr., Tribal Chairman for Redding Rancheria. We've proudly partnered with the Redding Rodeo Association for Native American Appreciation Night and Extreme Bulls and Barrels on May 15th at the Redding Rodeo Grounds. As you know, our roots and hearts are here in this community and are proud of this partnership. From grants to help local businesses and government to making health care available to so many. To our own community events like the Stillwater Powwow that happens right here on this same land. Redding Rancheria, proud to play our part.
We're back.
on the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour. I'm Scott Bertram. We continue our conversation with Dr. Scott Atlas, co-author of the recent report, COVID Lessons Learned, a retrospective after 4 years. You can find that report published by the Committee to Unleash Prosperity, also an excerpt at the Wall Street Journal. Dr. Atlas, we discussed the lockdowns. The other main lever that was pulled through most of the pandemic was the idea that masking could stop the spread. Based on what we know now and the studies that have been done, were masks of any use, any evidence that masking was helpful, that it's helped slow the spread of COVID?
No. I mean, it's very simple to answer the question. The answer is an emphatic no. And we're not just talking about cloth masks or some kind of scarf wrapped around your head. We're talking about surgical masks. We're talking about the data, not sort of an intuitive feel. The fact is that, A, this was known by spring of 2020. The CDC had published all the studies, randomized clinical trials on masks for viral respiratory infections that are similar to COVID, and that is influenza, the same relative size of a virus particle as COVID. It spreads sort of the same way. And the bottom line is there's no evidence that masking protects the wearer or slows the spread to other people in the community. And this was proven over and over again by, A, looking at the data in studies of locations where they actually did use masking significantly, including the countries of Asia, but also the good studies were done, published in November 2020 from Denmark, and several studies afterwards, including the review of all the data published in 2023 by the Cochrane Review, which showed two things: that surgical masks do not work to stop the spread of the infection or protect people. And the second part, by the way, is that there's N95 masks did not do anything different from surgical masks. So again, people are, you know, by human nature, wedded to what they had believed in. And of course, it was viewed as a way individuals could protect themselves and protect others. But the reality is what we need to work with as an objective society. We need to be a fact-based society. Masks do not work for these viral respiratory infections. That's proven. It's not really debatable, yet there are people who refuse to accept fact.
Dr. Scott Atlas with us here on the show, co-author of the recent report, COVID Lessons Learned, a retrospective after 4 years. Early on during COVID, we heard stories of overcrowded hospitals. We heard stories of lack of ventilators. And at some point, those stories seemed to simply go away. What ended up being the real story regarding hospitals and hospital utilization during COVID?
Well, the real story was that the hospitals were underutilized. The real story, particularly in the United States, while there were some examples of hospitals that were crowded, the reality was that the number of staffed beds, meaning occupied beds, steadily declined during the pandemic. And that's partly because people were afraid of coming into hospitals. And when I say afraid of coming into hospitals for non-COVID illness, I'm talking about people, a 40, 50% decrease in calling ambulances for acute stroke and heart attack. We're talking about people who skipped their chemotherapy, who had a known diagnosis of cancer. We're talking about people late bringing their children into emergency rooms, all because they were told that these medical facilities are highly dangerous because of COVID. It ended up that a lot of hospitals actually closed, went out of business because they were understaffed. These extra beds and extra non-hospital-based medical facilities were not used. Again, in the beginning, that made it understandable because of the panic, but eventually you have to look at the facts, and they end up killing people. The people who caused this fear, the people who invoked these assertions, they killed people because they shut down medical care for very, very serious illnesses. And I think, again, this is going to be a long time before we can dig out from the hole that was created.
Final question for Dr. Scott Atlas as we talk about COVID lessons learned, a retrospective after 4 years. This report published by the Committee to Unleash Prosperity. This final conclusion in the report says that we should limit government emergency powers and earn back the public trust. This could take a while. The CDC, the government burned through lots of goodwill through the COVID years. How can they take those first steps, if they want, to rebuilding trust with the public?
Yes, I think this is really the key question, because we know we are going to have other emergencies. And, you know, we as a very diverse, very large society, what we need as regular people to be able to trust the so-called experts. And this issue is really the legacy of people that pushed lockdowns and mandates and school closures that were contrary to the scientific evidence, contrary to logic, and contrary to what was known. And then mandating these things. So we need, first of all, to put some limits on the powers of these sorts of moves. We need a clearer definition of public health emergency with strict time limit, yet the Biden administration pushed declaration of public health emergency 2 years later, which doesn't really sort of make sense. We need to be able to limit what is an emergency and define it. We need to get some independent minded people involved. We need to allow for people to explore the scientific process, which necessarily means debating the data fully. We need to eliminate what we saw shockingly and what we still see, which is censorship of information. What we must do as a society, is a free society, is to make sure that people get the information and are informed, rather than view the government and government agencies as persuasion is their role. We need information, not persuasion. We need more transparency of the discussions of the agencies like the FDA, the CDC, and the NIH. I don't understand how in a free society the government isn't fully transparent with what is said when they work for the public. We need to make sure that the CDC, the FDA, the NIH are advisory agencies. They do not have power to set laws or mandates. And while that is true, it was abused during the pandemic, partly because we don't have courageous ethical leaders in place who felt more comfortable hiding behind CDC as if the CDC is in charge. When the CDC is not in charge, we need the public to understand that.
Dr. Scott Atlas, fellow at Hillsdale College's Academy for Science and Freedom, Robert Wesson, senior fellow in healthcare policy at the Hoover Institution, also co-author of this recent report, COVID Lessons Learned, a Retrospective After 4 Years, published by the Committee to Unleash Prosperity. You can also find an excerpt over at the Wall Street Journal. Dr. Atlas, thanks so much for joining us on the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour.
Thank you for having me.
Up next, we talk with John Daniel Davidson. He is the author of the brand new book, Pagan America, The Decline of Christianity and the Dark Age to Come. I'm Scott Bertram. This is the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour.
Life is always easier when we make good decisions. Taking care of your vehicle with regular maintenance is a smart decision that will save you money. Going to Premier Oil Change for regular maintenance is another great decision and an easy way to maintain your new car warranty. Drive into Premier Oil Change today and experience the friendly oil change. Come experience fast drive-through service with no appointment required. Premier changes your fluids while you stay in the comfort and safety of your own car. Enjoy a free beverage and free Wi-Fi while our trained technicians perform our comprehensive 30-point service. Don't forget that you can earn free oil changes with Premier Rewards. Learn more at PremierOilChange.com or visit us in Palisadro. Premier is in the Holiday Market Shopping Center or in Redding on Lake Boulevard next to Waterworks Park. And in Anderson, across from Roundtable, you get a free car wash with every oil change. Premier Oil Change, home of the friendly oil change.
Premier, your friendly oil change. Premier, your friendly oil change.
Are you craving a delicious pizza at a great price? Look no further than Charlie's Tap House. Charlie's Tap House is bringing back their incredible pizza deal. Every Tuesday from 4 p.m. until close, you can enjoy half off on your second pizza. That's right, buy one of any size and get the second one half off. This offer is only available for dine-in. So gather your friends and family and head over to Charlie's Tap House. The famous meal deal is back by popular demand. For just $29.95, you can choose between a medium two-topping pizza or a large plate of spaghetti with two mouth-watering meatballs. You have the option to indulge in a large house or Caesar salad. It's a complete feast at an unbeatable price. Charlie's Tap House is the place to be every day of the week from 3 p.m. to 6 p.m. Enjoy a refreshing drink from our beer wall and get a fantastic 25% off during happy hour. Don't miss out on these incredible offers. Visit Charlie's Tap House today and savor the flavors you love at the prices that can't be beaten.
Every day, your life is filled with choices. And when a health crisis happens, you need to be prepared to choose the best healthcare partner. That's when Shasta Regional Medical Center is there to answer the call above the rest. Ranked best in Reading and in the nation for patient safety and clinical excellence, you can be confident that when you choose Shasta, you are choosing superior care, safety, and excellence for you and your family. Choose Shasta at ShastaRegional.com.
Hi, Bob the Drop here. The other day I had a close encounter with my friends from Mars. I visited them a few years back, and they discovered the great taste of Mount Shasta spring water. Well, I guess they ran out, so they came back to Earth to get some more. I reminded them it comes from a protected spring at the base of Mount Shasta, and it's bottled at the source. I guess they just didn't get the part about us delivering right to your door. Have your own close encounter by calling 1-800-922-6227 to get some of the best tasting water in the galaxy. Pure and simple, naturally, the best Mount Shasta spring water.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by the Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
Have you been trying to make sense of local government, but 10 minutes in you already feel your blood pressure rise? Well, put down the headache medicine and get ready for a new perspective. Introducing Shasta Unmasked, taking on local issues and politics that affect you every day. Your government, public health, schools, and quality of life, unmasked and uncomplicated. With a great panel of hosts, local guests, and your calls, we can unmask the lies and shine a real light into our county. Tuesdays at 6 p.m. Pacific, right here on KCNR 96.5 and 1460 AM. Shasta Unmasked, making everything local on the level.
Welcome back to the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour. I'm Scott Bertram. Be sure to check out the Hillsdale College Podcast Network. It's at podcast.hillsdale.edu. We're joined by John Daniel Davidson. He is senior editor at The Federalist, also a Hillsdale College alum, class of 04. And he is the author of the brand new book, Pagan America, The Decline of Christianity and the Dark Age to Come. John, thanks so much for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having me, Scott.
Very early on in Pagan America, in the introduction, in fact, you say, as Christianity fades in America, so too will our system of government, our civil society, and all our rights and freedoms, which seems like a lot of stuff all tied together. Why is Christianity and the country, as we know it, so inextricably linked?
Yeah, well, the argument I make at the outset of the book is that America, despite all of our talk these days about a wall of separation between church and state, America was really founded as a Christian country. That is to say, the founders understood that in order to have a republican form of government, in order to have self-government and the structure of government that we have, you needed to have a moral and religious people, that is to say, a predominantly Christian people. They weren't talking about Islam when they talked about a moral and religious people. They were talking about Christianity. And indeed, that's what we had at the time of the founding and what we have had for most of our history. And I think it's pretty clear when you look at what the founders said about what they believed they were doing, that they knew that you can only have this kind of society and this form of government with a people who are thoroughly shaped and a public square that is thoroughly informed and molded by Christian moral virtue. and indeed a Christian sort of cosmological vision of man and society and how we should order ourselves as a polity.
Early on, too, to the title of the book, Pagan America, I look and I see this, this semi-definition. No fixed system or belief or set of solid convictions ought to constrain us as we stumble our way through life, and that power alone determines what is right. Those words, I hear echoes of this discussion these days, your argument these days, that it's my truth. It's,
yes.
There's nothing you have to rely on other than what you yourself want or what you yourself believe about yourself or about things around you. In those ways, are we already seeing some of this pagan America that you discuss come to fruition?
Yes, indeed. The argument here is that the pagan America described in the book is emerging now, and the seeds of it were planted some time ago. And what I mean by the pagan ethos can be summed up in the single line, nothing is true, everything is permitted. And that's the kind of radical subjectivity that we see today across a whole host of debates about public policy and in our culture wars, from the transgender debate to the abortion debate, to critical race theory, and our debates about race and identity. In each case, we see the assertion of a person's individual subjective truth or subjective reality over and against objective truth or objective reality. And a Christian worldview, a Christian civilization posits transcendent objective moral truths about human nature and about how society should be organized. And the pagan worldview or the pagan cosmology is not just the opposite of that, but the inversion of it. And we see this throughout pre-Christian pagan societies. And I argue that as America becomes more and more post-Christian, we are reverting to the pagan ethos, and that ethos is going to present itself in new forms for a modern or postmodern age.
John Daniel Davidson with us. His book, Pagan America, The Decline of Christianity and the Dark Age to Come. If we try to pinpoint when some of these changes began to occur, you put a little lasso around this pre-World War II era and a specific Supreme Court decision. What's happening around that time, and how does the Supreme Court play a role in what's happened over the past century or so?
Yeah, this is the 1940 case, the Cantwell case, where the Supreme Court ruled that a state cannot distinguish between a religious cause and a non-religious cause. In other words, the state can't even take cognizance of what is a religion or what isn't a religious cause. And this, they said, was a violation of the Establishment Clause in the Constitution, in the Bill of Rights, that the government cannot make a law establishing a religion. But this was a radical departure from how the Supreme Court and indeed American society at large had understood the Establishment Clause from the founding. And it was a rupture with how we had understood the role of religion in American public life up to that point. Previous religious liberty cases were sort of decided on a case-by-case basis with sort of an analysis of the competing interests and claims, but there was never this presumption that the government had no ability and no competency to recognize a religion, and that public policy could indeed be informed by religious considerations, and that churches and affiliate church institutions could engage in public policy and could participate fully in the public square. All that began to change after Cantwell, with a series of Supreme Court cases that came sort of rolling in over the next couple decades. And this is how we got the cases going from the 1940s through the 1960s and 70s of banning prayer in public school, banning Bible reading in public schools, and all these things that everybody is really more familiar with. But I argue that it represented a shift, and it wasn't a shift that was just reflected in the Supreme Court, but in American society at large, where this narrative took hold that there had to be this wall of separation between the church and state. And I argue that was really a misunderstanding, not only of what Jefferson meant by that phrase, but what the founders themselves generally thought.
the decline of Christianity, as you explain it, the atrophy of faith inside pagan America. As I read this section, I could not but think about the lessons inadvertently learned via the pandemic about school, when unions essentially told everyone in the country, school's optional, school's not that important, we can close it for a while.
Yeah.
Did churches behave in the same manner? And I know this trend goes back a bit farther, but it has accelerated. Can we blame churches? Do at least some churches have similar blame, and that people have learned an unfortunate lesson that maybe it's not essential. Maybe we don't need it.
Oh, churches deserve a lot of blame. And I talk about that in the book, that as the quantity of Christians decreases in America, so too has the quality of Christian teaching and the practice of the Christian faith, such that you have, you know, huge swaths of Christians now across all denominations affirming things that are clearly not Christian, that violate basic small o Christian orthodoxy.
Mm-hmm.
And the different denominations are guilty, you know, in different ways, depending on their biases and their predispositions. But we do see this. You can track a decline in the quality of Christian faith sort of parallel to a decline in the total number of Christians. And undoubtedly, during the pandemic, we saw Christian leaders just sort of like roll over and accept the line and accept narrative of the secular authorities. Even the premise that, you know, the secular authority can declare some businesses or some activities essential and others non-essential. You know, this was a moment where Christian leaders should have stood up and asserted their parallel spiritual authority next to the secular political authority. But instead, they just sort of rolled over. And unfortunately, I do think that it reinforced the message, which we've been getting for generations now, that the formal practice of the Christian faith and the religiosity of people out in the public square and influencing our lives, our communal lives together as a people, isn't really that important. And that religion can just be a private thing that's restricted, you know, just to the one, to a single person, but also inside the home. And that's never been the understanding previously that Christians have had, certainly not in America up until very recently.
John, we'll pause there and come back in just a moment to continue our conversation about the new book, Pagan America, The Decline of Christianity and the Dark Age to Come. John Daniel Davidson with us. I'm Scott Bertram. This is the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour.
At Black Bear Diner, sandwich stacks are here, and they're tall on irresistible flavors. Indulge in a double bacon stack, hand-breaded crispy chicken stack, a tri-tip cheddar stack, or a crispy cod stack. There's a stack for everyone. Get yours today at Black Bear Diner. Now available for limited time. Served all day, every day. In Redding on Hilltop Drive, order one now at blackbeardiner.com.
Black Bear Diner.
The official meeting of the business-to-business meeting is called to order. Business-to-business, where we always say, make every transaction a win-win-win. Our guest today is Steve Clark from Minuteman Press of Reading.
Today I'd like to talk to you about business cards.
Well, I just get mine from this.
Don't say it. Don't do it. If you're thinking of ordering your business cards online, don't do it. Keep your business local.
But they're cheaper online.
No. Business cards from Minuteman Press of Reading start at just $35, and custom design services start at $29, and you keep your money local.
Hey, that's a win.
Let us at Minuteman Press of Reading take care of your business cards. Rapid turnaround time and priced right. We also do full-service direct mail and promotional products at Minuteman Press of Reading.
Call 221-0400. That's 221-0400.
For Minuteman Press of Reading, where we design, print, and promote you.
221-0400. That's 221-0400.
Minuteman Press of Reading. Call today.
Owners, landlords, and tenants trust Authority Property Management at 2663 Victor Avenue. They manage a variety of properties, including single-family homes, apartments, condos, townhouses, multifamily properties, and commercial properties. Authority Property Management offers full-time management, including finding and screening tenants, rent collection, financial reporting, and final walkthrough home inspections when they move out. Contact Authority Property Management today at 530-410-6085 and check out their website at authoritypm.com.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs.
family-owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300. A reputation for excellence since 1965.
Here at KCNR Radio, we are fortunate to have two well-informed citizens. Hi, I'm Nick Gardner.
And I'm Doug Janke,
and we'll give you the inside scoop of news affecting you.
Tune in to Poke the Hornet's Nest, Sundays, here, 8 o'clock.
KCNR1460.com, 96.5 FM, and on your AM dial, 1460.
We're back on the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour. I'm Scott Bertram. We've been talking to John Daniel Davidson. He's the author of the new book, Pagan America, The Decline of Christianity and the Dark Age to Come. John, there's an entire chapter on the rise of the materialist magician, a reference to C.S. Lewis and Screwtape Letters. For people who are not familiar, what is the materialist magician and how does it fit into what's happened in the country recently?
Yeah, one of the central arguments of the book is that the idea that, you know, the Enlightenment and secular age were going to usher in sort of a post-Christian future that would be coldly rationalistic, coldly materialistic. It would be a kind of secular liberal utopia where religion wouldn't have the same purchase it did in the past. And I argue that this is totally wrong, that that notion of the future as this atheist secular utopia is just a way station. It was just a temporary illusion that the post-Christian era is still going to be religious. It's just not going to be Christian. And what we're seeing now, I think, is and what I try to document in the book, is the emergence of an openness to the supernatural and a kind of re-enchanting of the world that's taking place alongside this sort of strict materialist mindset that rejects the claims of traditional religions, which is why you see a rise in the number of people who are saying that they are spiritual but not religious, right? And the materialist magician is a brilliant phrase that C.S. Lewis came up with Screwtape Letters to describe this sort of person, a person who considered themselves a skeptic and a materialist, and so their mind was closed to belief in God, but they were open to spiritual forces and even to a kind of willingness to listen to spiritual beings and explore spiritual mysteries. And that's, you know, in the case of the Screwtape Letters, the demon who is saying this, who is saying that we hope to create this new man, this materialist magician, if we can create this sort of person, then the end of the war, that is the war against God, will be in sight.
Section on abortion and euthanasia in pagan America. And so many of us, I mean, not us, so many do say, I'd never do X. I'd never get an abortion. I don't want to impose my beliefs or my values on others. One of the problems in pagan America that we don't say that more often, that we don't impose our beliefs, we don't impose our values on others more often.
Yeah, absolutely. And I describe abortion and euthanasia as human sacrifice in the new pagan cults. And the reason I say that is because, like sacrifice in the pre-Christian world, in the pagan world before Christianity, sacrifice is sort of this, you know, human sacrifice was this communal thing that happened formally to appease the gods, but it was something that everybody had to be on board with. There was atrocities that were committed, and if you had anyone dissented from that who said this is not right, then the horribleness of it, the barbarity of it, was sort of exposed. So everyone had to be on board, and it was necessary to kind of deny the humanity of the people who were being sacrificed, and that we see with the abortion debate and with the euthanasia debate too, that's emerging now, that's catching up to it. And one of the things that I talk about is how the justifications for abortion specifically have changed since Roe versus Wade.
Mm-hmm.
It began as sort of a denial of the humanity, a straightforward denial that these unborn children are not people, they're a clump of cells, it's no different than getting an appendectomy, and it's no big deal. And as medical technology advanced, that justification had to change. And in the 90s, we saw a new justification, this notion of safe, legal, rare, that while unfortunate, abortion was necessary to vindicate the rights of women. But now we've dispensed with all pretense that this is anything other than the taking of a human life, and it's justified based on will of the mother. And that's what determines whether or not the unborn child gets to live or can be killed with impunity. It's not really about gestational age or, mm-hmm. you know, our scientific knowledge of in-utero development or anything like that. It's simply based on the exercise of power by the powerful over the weak. And that is characteristic and classic pagan thought applied in the modern world.
Yes, it brings together two of the themes in the book. One, that the powerful get to decide what is right and what rights we have or what rights the unborn have. And this idea, too, of the denial of humanity. I think about some of the current discussions and arguments, John, and this new scientific breakthroughs, viability moving earlier and earlier, the ability for us to know when a baby feels pain. Those arguments, which in a Christian nation, you might expect to move opinions or move the line, doesn't seem to do so, doesn't seem to move the needle much in this debate. Are you surprised by that?
Not really, because one of the characteristics of the pagan mindset is that it doesn't need to cohere, right? As Christians and as people who grew up in predominantly Christian societies and have a Christian history, we're used to everything kind of cohering, right? Faith and reason go together. They complement one another. And there's a kind of internal consistency and logic to it. But when your cosmology is based on force and coercion alone, you don't have that same kind of coherence. And so, you know, one of the things I document throughout the book is the kind of corruption of reason that we're seeing in the post-Christian era and the disfigurement of reason and a disregard for actual scientific truth. The irony is that the progressive and post-Christian left, which I talk a lot about in the book, you know, they invoke science all the time, mm-hmm. that we follow the science and believe the science, but they don't really actually care about science at all. And they're really willing to discard any scientific findings or any facts that contradict or get in the way of what is fundamentally the pagan mindset that might makes right.
Just a couple of minutes left with John Daniel Davidson, his new book, Pagan America, The Decline of Christianity and the Dark Age to Come. Toward the end, you say we need to have the courage to take back our towns and with bold, brave acts that assert Christian truth. So what does that look like in practice?
The first thing it means is finding ground that you can fight and win on, right? You're not going to be able to win every part of the country, but Christians need to think hard about where they live and consider uprooting and moving to places where they can join together other Christian communities. And churches and schools and neighborhoods, take back their little city council, take back their local library, take back their school district or their school board. We've seen this, especially coming out of the pandemic that we talked about earlier. You know, once parents realized in some cases what their kids were or that they weren't being taught in the local public schools, the kind of pushback from parents, that they're wanting to get involved and take over school boards. Christians need to do that on a large scale all over the country. And I say that because, we should build our churches and our homeschools and protect our families and build up thick communities, but Christianity can't be relegated to the purely private.
Very quickly, John, I think in the read of the book and particularly toward the end, is it safe to say you think that this is a more immediate threat, or at least we are farther down the line than perhaps others who are having similar thoughts and conversations might think?
I think we're much further down the line than most people realize. And part of my motivation for writing the book wasn't to offer like a 10-step plan to save America. I don't think that that's possible right now. This is a generational struggle. But my motivation was just to get Americans, and especially Christians, to wrap their minds around this fact that we are living in post-Christian time, indeed a pagan time. And the first step to fighting back and winning back our civilization to accept the reality. And so that's really one of the main purposes for Pagan America.
Don Daniel Davidson, senior editor at The Federalist, a Hillsdale graduate, class of 2004, and the brand new book, Pagan America, The Decline of Christianity and the Dark Age to Come. John, thanks so much for joining us on the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour.
Thanks for having me, Scott. Appreciate it.
That will wrap up this edition of the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour. Our thanks to Dr. Scott Atlas, co-author of the recent report, COVID Lessons Learned, a retrospective after 4 years. And John Daniel Davidson, he's the author of Pagan America, The Decline of Christianity, and the Dark Age to Come. The Radio Free Hillsdale Hour is recorded at the studios of WRFH, the student-run radio station at Hillsdale College. Remember, you can hear new episodes every week on the station. You also can find extended versions of some of our interviews or listen anytime to the podcast. Find it at podcast.hillsdale.edu or wherever you get your audio. The assistant producer of the program is Sam Lair. Until next week, I'm Scott Bertram, and this has been the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour.
Everybody has been dealing with the availability of homeowners insurance in Northern California. Companies not writing your home insurance anymore are leaving the state altogether. Siskiyou Insurance has hired a specialist specifically for dealing with a homeowners crisis here in Shasta County. He specializes in what the market is doing, coverages, and which companies may be able to help. Call Brian Dews at Siskiyou Insurance Services for your home or auto consultation. Siskiyou Insurance Services, 530-224-2345 or 1-800-773-2345.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Do you have a crazy schedule and can't seem to get to a class to qualify for your CCW, CCW renewal, or maybe learn to use that new firearm you just purchased? Consider a private class with NFI. Learn to shoot a handgun, rifle, shotgun, or even a BB gun. Classes are taught by an instructor that you choose on your dates and location. Give NFI a call at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and I'll see you at the range.
KCNR invites you to join us the second Friday of the month starting at 8 a.m. for the Gorman Law Hour featuring local attorney Patrick Gorman, a legal expert when it comes to injured workers, compensation claims, and employee claims. So, if you have a legal question or just wonder whether or not you have a legal issue or problem, talk to Patrick Gorman, attorney at law, during the Gorman Law Hour starting at 8 a.m. the second Friday of the month on KCNR.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. Our expert guests will give you the whole story rather than a bunch of sound bites. Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
Sponsored in part by Pape Machinery, located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard, for all your local John Deere Ag and Turf products. Join us every Sunday from noon until 2, wethepeopleradio.us.
What shall we do about them?
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.